Are you ready to rewind? Take a nostalgia-filled ride back to a simpler time. It's Acid Wash Memories, a retro pop culture celebration. And now your hosts, Joe Marotta and Michael Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 62 of Acid Wash Memories, a retro pop culture celebration. Today, we're talking about must-see TV. I am Joe Marotta, joined by Michael Quinn. How you doing there, Michael?
Hey, do, do, do.
There you go. NBC will be the focus today, folks.
The NBC canon, the rare.
Yeah, the very rare NBC canon. Thank you so much, though, for being part of the Acid Wash Memories canon. We're glad to be back with you here this week. If you caught the last two episodes, we opened up the vault these last 2 weeks, Quinn.
Very vaulty.
And the reason for that, for this vaulted exposition, is because the Acid Wash Memories official studio has moved.
Yes.
We are finally broadcasting. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's all live. Yes. You're hearing this like
on the radio.
Yeah, we just sit here all day to talk to you.
We play records when you're not looking.
Yeah.
We are finally broadcasting from the brand new studio. So that's where we are. We thank you guys. I gotta say this. The two vault episodes, Quinn. People were interacting on them as if they were new.
I was surprised.
So was I.
I thought a lot of you had heard these already. Apparently not.
Apparently not. So we thank you guys for
all
of your interaction.
One thing you haven't heard is the beautiful sound of this studio. I'm looking around. We got soundproofing now. This
is
lovely. It's like professional or something in here.
We're as professionally amateur as you can get.
Yes.
And we do appreciate you guys being
the most professional sound I've ever been a part
That's
of.
A good point, Michael. Thank you guys for being with us here and being a part of this. If you want to follow us on Twitter, if you still use that, you can do it at AWM Podcast. You can also join our Facebook group, which is Acid Wash Memories. It's a friendly place, Quinn.
Very friendly.
A lot of old crap is talked about.
Yeah, a lot of old friends.
Yeah, a lot of old friends
old
as well.
Old friends talking about old crap.
That's what we do there. We call it Home Crap Home.
Yeah, now you can be one of the old friends.
That's right. And if you're a new friend, thank you for being here. So that's it for the particulars. Today we're talking about must-see TV.
Must-see TV, NBC tonight.
If you're on the UK or Australia, maybe you don't even know what this is, or must-see telly or whatever.
Yeah, must-see telly, must-see TVZ.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. But I will say this. Throughout the 90s and into the 2000s, NBC, that's the national broadcasting
yes.
company, of course.
Not national of Britain, though.
No,
American
different thing.
National.
This has nothing to do with the Queen. But NBC here in the United States of America promoted its rather strong primetime lineup under a unique banner. It wasn't just could see TV, right?
Yeah, you didn't. It wasn't optional.
It wasn't just might see TV. No, it was must see TV. And I got to tell you, Quinn, many popular enduring programs were promoted under this slogan.
It's the premiere of Daddy-O, the stay-at-home comedy worth, well, staying home for.
And today we're going to talk about, in a very casual conversational episode here, the shows and the lineups that made NBC's Thursday night must see. But first, Quinn, what's a slogan?
It's like a catchphrase. It's like a little, maybe like three words or something, like in this case, or it's something to attach to something so that people remember it.
Like, I'm loving it.
It's about being memorable.
Is that what it is?
A slogan, right?
Okay.
What's funny is now that we're talking about a slogan, I can't remember any slogan at all.
By Menon?
Yeah, by Menon. Mentos, the fresh maker.
There you go. So you're doing it, folks. Let us know your favorite slogan. You can do that at AWM Podcast on Twitter. But must-see TV was a slogan. And those of you that, you ever watch TV, Quinn?
Yeah, I think I've caught it before.
I've seen a little bit of it.
It's not as live anymore. Everything's like Netflix and stuff.
Much like our show.
I still hold a candle for live TV. I still have a YouTube TV subscription just in case I need to watch something live.
What scent is that candle?
Red velvet.
Red.
Yeah, just red. Just give red because YouTube.
Okay, well, folks, let us know your favorite candle.
Oh, good Lord. What, were you eating paint chips in this new studio?
Anyway, let's give you a very brief, and by that I mean moderate, history of NBC. So the National Broadcasting Company was launched in 1926 for radio. I like radio.
Yeah, just like a lot of these guys, a lot of these TV people, they're all like radio empires that expanded into television in the 50s, right?
Right, because they were already set up for the broadcasting aspect of it.
They just need the cameras.
They just need the camera. Much like us, we broadcast here.
They got the sound taken care of. They just need the cameras.
They just need to turn the picture on, right?
Yeah.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom in New York.
And it was only 13 years later, to give you an idea of how quickly, think about that, 1926 for radio, 13 years later for TV, 1939. You think about this, we're recording this in 2024, 2011. That's the gap.
But I mean, technology was in the early 20th century. You have to understand that a lot of technology was moving very quickly. I feel like people
absolutely
don't associate that with the early 20th century. They associate it with, like, they think of the 90s with technology moving fast. It was
yeah.
like, but if you think about it, it's like, if you were like an adult in 1926, they didn't have cars when you were a kid. Like, think about how, like, rapidly, like,
true.
Shit moved, right?
Electricity, refrigerators,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, like, you just didn't have the, or it wasn't as common,
yeah.
right? It wasn't affordable or something.
People,
like, maybe it was, like, the beginning of it when you were a kid.
People out in Connecticut had and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, NBC is, for the record, the oldest broadcast network in the United States of America. And it was, at the time, throughout the 40s and 50s, competing with the others of the big three. That would be ABC, the American Broadcasting Company,
mm-hmm.
and CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and sometimes Dumont.
Where's Columbia? Where are they, like,
well,
not the country, but
in,
like,
South America,
but
near Ecuador.
But in America, where's Columbia? Because this is an American network.
Well, like, the District of Columbia, Michael Quinn. It's
is that,
near Virginia
is that
what they, and Maryland.
Is that its namesake? Like,
yeah.
Or did they start in D.C.?
I don't know if they started, but that's yeah. Columbia is a... you know, Paramount Pictures is it Paramount or Universal with the Columbia torch later that looks like the Statue of Liberty? That's
you're thinking
name.
Of Columbia Pictures. I
Columbia, it would be yeah. Columbia. Yeah. Columbia Pictures.
Yeah.
Columbia Pictures.
Anyway, by the 1960s, see, I told you we'd fast forward this.
Mm-hmm.
By the 60s, NBC, from a TV point of view, was known for shows that you've probably heard of, such as I Dream of Jeannie, The Monkees, which was mm-hmm. a TV show, and then the band, right?
Yeah, The Monkees.
Remember them? My Mother, the Car. I'm kidding. I mean, it was.
I mean, no. Everyone was so hopped up on cars by this point. Now their mothers are cars.
Big Jerry Van Dyke
yeah.
vehicle. No
everyone and their mother is a car.
Exactly.
But believe it or not, my mother did. Decided she'd come back as a car.
Dragnet, excellent show, by the way. I'm not joking.
Yeah, it's good.
Great show. Flipper.
I love Flipper. But I only see
Aquatic Lassie.
Here's the funny thing
bullshit.
about a lot of these shows.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we mostly know them? Not even just Nick at Night, but Flipper was on during the day
on, like,
when we were kids.
Pixar,
like,
or WOR.
No, it was
or something,
on Nickelodeon.
Right?
Like, they straight up just showed it
oh,
as
on
like
regular Nickelodeon,
part of the regular lineup. Like, it's new or something
on the regular kind.
Yeah,
The Man from Uncle, which I've never watched, but I've heard of.
He's from Uncle.
Someone's got to be. And various sporting programs, obviously, like the Rose Bowl and various football games,
right.
American footy. And
foot.
Yeah, foot.
Foot, Mrs. Foot.
A lot of Julian's teacher.
I'm Julian's teacher, Miss Foot.
NBC was still doing great as the 1970s began, particularly with a great show known as Sanford and Son. Fucking awesome
yeah.
theme. Little House on the Prairie.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you ever hear of The Tonight Show? We might have talked about it before
yeah,
on this program here.
Yeah, we've extensively talked about
yes,
The Tonight Show.
Very extensively.
Well, it is never extensive enough. Now stop eating paint chips, you two assholes.
However, in the mid-70s, NBC saw a nosedive in their overall TV ratings. Meanwhile, CBS, Quinn, Columbia Broadcasting
right.
System, they were flourishing with shows such as All in the Family, its spinoff Maude and the Jeffersons.
Right.
MASH, Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes.
Like, that's a juggernaut of a friggin' programming lineup.
So, I think what's interesting about, especially children of the 80s and who grew up in the 90s too, in our era, NBC was like the juggernaut, right?
Oh, hell
but
yeah.
But like in the 70s and 60s and prior, like because of Lucy and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I Love Lucy was on CBS.
CBS was like the OG juggernaut.
Oh, 100%.
Like that NBC
yeah.
came to topple.
CBS was huge
right,
in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
They were the one.
They really were. And all the 70s lineup was under the direction of a man named Fred Silverman. He is important to the story. He was at the time the vice president of programming for CBS. Now, in 1975, ABC, the American Broadcasting Company, they lured away Fred Silverman to their network.
What a coup for ABC. ABC was always the little guy.
They were.
They were always like the it's always like the wild world of sports and like all this
yeah.
dumb shit.
Something
like,
with Dick Clark.
Yeah, so it's always just like, we got this wacky shit over
yeah,
here, right? It's
we're
like,
zany over
we're
here.
We're the zany ones. All the stuff that nobody wants, we got it.
Pretty much.
And
all-new Cop Rock tomorrow.
But Fred Silverman went to ABC, and he cranked it up over there. He saved Happy Days from cancellation. We know Happy Days ran for, like, what, 11 years or 10 years
or
something?
Oh, yeah, that was like ABC relied on Happy Days.
Yeah, they needed it.
ABC ran on Pappy Days power.
Pappy?
Yeah.
Pappy Days.
Pappy Days power.
The Vader sequel.
Like your pappy.
Which spun off into Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
Mork and Mindy, which was, for its first season or two, was a huge hit.
Yes.
Mork and Mindy.
We mentioned that recently.
We did, yeah.
I found that out, like, on Wiki. I didn't realize. I always thought it was such a goof show and, like, that it was just kind of, like, another spinoff show. But apparently, like, the first two seasons were super highly rated.
They were, because Robin Williams. Yeah. People didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah, well, he was a phenomenon.
He was. And also, Fred Silverman greenlit Charlie's Angels.
Another popular one.
Three's Company. Eight is Enough. Love Boat.
Yeah, suddenly ABC's looking up over here. This Fred Silverman guy, he knows what he's doing.
Yep. And, Quinn, you'll like this. It's not primetime related, but Fred Silverman is also the man responsible, Quinn, for Good Morning America.
Good morning.
One of your favorites.
I have such good memories of Good Morning America.
So
it's not even like Good Morning America, if you've never seen it, if you're from like the UK or whatever.
Or you just watch NBC or Today or whatever.
To me, it's like the precursor of like the happy talk morning like news show.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, it's the news, kinda.
But we're very happy about it.
We're very happy about it. Whereas like, I know the Today Show is considered like the OG, but
because it is.
I don't know, like the fireplace and like I just
Charles Gibson and Joan London era.
I just always had like a bigger fondness for Good Morning America. Plus the name is way more welcoming.
It's very happy. Yeah. Not just the Today Show.
Yeah.
The hell.
Good Morning America. Like
Hi,
it's
America.
Just so pleasant.
Yeah, how did I stay? Also ABC became popular for Roots, the acclaimed miniseries.
Right.
And the Battle of the Network Stars.
Which
that was all Fred Silverman.
That one, even like if you talk to stars from back then, I've seen some interviews with them about this. Like they're like, what the fuck was this?
Yeah, it's
like
fun.
It's so stupid.
But it did well.
Yeah.
It did well. So seeing Fred Silverman's undeniable success at two of those big three networks, right? CBS and now ABC. NBC was able to get him over to their side in 1978 to become its president and CEO.
Well, I mean, with a track record like that, I'm sure the only way you could lure him in
is
right,
that type of title and
be like,
grade,
you're
right?
the head of the whole thing.
Yeah, just,
like if you come here, you're not the vice. You're
right.
you're the king, man.
Well, first of all, there is no single way to do program development. You know, I learned from experience that you can develop a script and end up making a pilot. And that pilot could end up being selected to be a series. That's one way to get on the air. But every so often, things happen in an unexpected fashion. Some complete dickhead out in New Jersey might decide to make an AI version of me, Fred Silverman, for no good fucking reason, on his piddly piece of crap podcast.
And guess what? It didn't work out that good. So a show known as Hello Larry was a major failure. Super Train and the Pink Lady. We've all watched these, right?
What is this era? What are these shows?
My point exactly. If you ever notice, if you're
the Pink Train, what
the Pink Lady and Super Train, they sound
Ooh.
Like they sound like bands from the late 90s.
That is dumb.
Pink Lady.
Hey, the Pink Lady was good stuff, dude.
Who even watched that?
Well,
I've never heard of that until you said that. And I've heard of a lot of TV shows. I've never heard of that.
Me neither.
Hello, Larry. Okay.
Hi, Larry. Here's the thing, though. If you watched a lot of Nick at Night or TV Land, even in like the 90s and 2000s, you'll notice that a lot of the reruns they're showing are not NBC shows from the 70s, you know, and there's a reason why.
Well, until much later. Right, until
exactly.
Nick at Night in like the 2000s when they were starting to pull off NBC's greatness.
But when I was watching Nick at Night in the 90s and stuff like that, TV Land, it was always like all the Norman Lear.
It was predominantly
beauties.
CBS.
It was predominantly CBS. Mary Tyler Moore and
Wonder
some Years.
ABC.
Yeah, Wonder
like
Years and
stuff. A little bit of ABC.
A sprinkle
of ABC.
And Fred Silverman, again, not primetime, but he also had the misfortune of dealing with that horrible 1980-81 season of SNL.
Ugh.
Where Lorne Michaels laughed and Gene Dunham came in.
The
and
notorious
it was like,
one, the one that like everyone makes fun of.
The Charles Rocket era. But Silverman did at least launch Hill Street Blues, which was very popular. And the David Letterman daytime show without which it would not have been possible for Late Night with David Letterman.
So he's sprinkling some seeds here. It almost feels like they gave Fred Silverman, they said, here's this network that has absolutely nothing.
They were in third place.
It's tapped out, yep. Right? It's your blank canvas, and I guess they were going to give him time, right? Like
they did give him time.
Do what you think is right.
Another thing that he thought was right is he developed three pretty popular shows. Not, in my mind, not all-time classic sitcoms, but very good ones. Different Strokes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for a lot of people,
right?
Yes.
Facts of Life.
Yes.
And Give Me a Break.
Oh, that Nell.
But despite all of this, NBC remained in third place in that three-network race. Now, things were so bad by the late 70s, just to give you an idea, folks, that over two dozen local affiliates pulled out of NBC.
Wow.
And converted to either ABC or CBS. And
that's where it really matters back then. Because here's the thing, right? Even if you are like the worst or whatever of the big three, there's no cable. So it's like you're still pulling in enough viewers to make some good advertising.
You're making money.
But if you then start to lose actual affiliates, that hits you in the pocketbook because that's less revenue.
Correct.
Right.
And what's the biggest pull for the affiliates is our local news.
Right.
So they get very up in arms if they're...
If you lose an affiliate, that's like losing a client if you work at a company, right? Like,
It's
a big deal.
It's a big deal. You don't want to... two dozen?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I'm sure that was spread out over like a few years. There's no way they all just pulled out at once.
No, but still, I mean, that's still like
And what kind of confidence does that give in the network itself when like affiliates are like, this, we're not making enough money.
Right.
Like, it's like we need to like go with CBS or ABC or something. Yeah.
Exactly. So Fred Silverman left of his own accord after only 3 years in 1981. And replacing him as president specifically of the entertainment division of NBC was a fellow that you might have heard of if you're into this type of thing. I'm sure you've heard of him, Quinn. Brandon Tartikoff.
Yes.
He did. He ultimately became the head of comedy at NBC, and then I promoted him.
Brandon Tartikoff took this crappy inherited schedule, and he shook it up. And his era for Thursday nights was informally known as the best night of television. On television, and it consisted of shows on Thursdays such as The Cosby Show, which we all know was a huge hit.
Yeah, The Cosby Show, you know, people have their thoughts about it retrospectively.
Especially
but,
Bill Cosby. I mean, have your thoughts.
Of course. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as far as the influence of that show, it's known that it completely changed NBC's fortunes, right?
It did.
Like, it is a breakthrough.
It reset, because there were family sitcoms in the 50s and 60s, but it reset the nuclear family sitcom.
Yeah, it's like the modern family sitcom. The one,
right.
It's still like, basically the way The Cosby Show operates is the way most now,
family sitcoms
to this day.
All of them owe, like, Full House, Family Matters was an attempt to, you know,
right, even
a
Modern Family, like more modern, like modern show. But like the point is like it's the same kind of like different little skits and stuff,
yeah,
and like stuff going on with different members of the family. Like all of that's rooted in The Cosby Show.
Challenge.
Also on Thursday nights during this era was Mama's Family, which we're not
going to
kiss my grits. Yeah. I know.
It's not even that.
I know it's
Alice.
Here's a big one though. Again, this is not part of must-see TV, but I want to run some of these shows down so we can at least give them a salute, you know? Mm-hmm. Family Ties.
Mm.
Michael J. Fox's vehicle there.
That's
excellent.
A big 80s show.
Excellent.
That's how you know like a younger guy's running the network. That show is very in touch with the 80s in general. It's playing on all the little 80s things. Reagan.
It is the Reagan era.
Right. And like all of that stuff. And you know, just, you know, maybe the music of the time or whatever. Like the daughter was always like
Mallory.
Into whatever was hip.
Yep.
You know, like that. Like it was just, it was perfect for its time.
Had a good theme too.
Yeah.
It did.
That theme, it starts slow,
yep,
but then it like kicks up and you're like, yeah,
yeah,
this
it's a great
show.
Theme.
Yeah.
What would we do, baby, without us?
Quinn, we cannot talk about NBC Thursday nights in the 80s without mentioning Cheers.
Yes.
Huge show. 82 to 93, this show was on.
Again, this is, again, just perfect with the times. But what's interesting about Cheers? It's of its time, but it's timeless at the same time. One thing that I think Cheers as a show, and probably for the royalties and stuff, this is so important, had over a lot of other shows, is that it can be played at any time period, and it's like applicable. It's just common life, like,
yes,
problems, like,
right. It's not necessarily topical. I mean, sometimes, but like, yeah, it's more of what, bars still exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's more just like the stuff that all the characters are going through.
Yeah,
they're a weird comfort to each other, even though they kind of like, it's more of a sarcastic, like, we're in a bar, like, screwing around with each other. But you know, it's just got this kind of, you could watch this at any point in your life kind of vibe.
I agree with you. And yeah, I think it's also a very aesthetically pleasing show.
Absolutely. It's got one of the best sets I've ever seen.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
And also, it kind of reset for the 80s and beyond the workplace sitcom, which Mary Tyler Moore is probably the standard bearer for that, would you say?
Right.
For workplace sitcoms.
But now Mary Tyler Moore looks dated as a workplace sitcom.
Yeah, correct.
But Cheers is a bar. Bars don't go away.
Exactly.
This is why Cheers is like, they nailed it as far as like, could this show be used outside of the 80s.
Right.
And, you know, I know it went into the 90s, but still, it didn't matter. Like, Cheers was Cheers.
It's
like
a timeless show.
Right.
I'll give you that.
You disgust me. I hate you.
Are you as turned on as I am?
More.
Speaking of workplace sitcoms, also on Thursday nights during the Tartikoff era, Night Court, which is a zany show.
It's weird.
But it's got
about a lot of skits.
Especially as we get into the later 80s, early 90s. It gets really weird, that
it's
show.
It's kind of like if SNL was just a courtroom and a courtroom only. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, and here's just a lineup of bullshit.
I love
like,
it, though.
Yeah.
And it's got one of the best sitcom themes. Uh-huh. The Night Court's theme is a banger. The Cosby spinoff, A Different World.
The 90s episodes, the like later
they
ones.
They get really good.
They get really deep and they delve into the riots and everything. And it's like very, very well done, that show.
The Denise and like what? Isn't Marissa Tomei in the first season?
Yeah, it's not even the same show. Yeah. Like Whitney and Dwayne are in it, but they're not the focus. And then once it becomes Whitney and Dwayne.
It's Whitley, not Whitney.
Once they leave college and it gets into like life, holy shit, like it makes all that college shit mean something. And it's very well done.
After 6 years and a million memories, it's time to move on.
You ready to go, baby?
After A Different World.
A Different World, the final episode at 8, 7 Central, NBC Saturday.
Now, I want to mention, on the strength of some of these programs we're talking about, for the 1985-86 season, NBC had reclaimed its throne as number one.
That's like almost no wonder, because we're naming off like all-time classics.
Exactly.
Right? It's like the network was just attracting, depending on what you were interested in, somebody was coming back to NBC,
And Brandon Tartikoff, I guess, had a really good eye for what was going to work for the most part.
It was diverse, too.
And it was, it was. That's a good point. Now, I also want to give a shout-out, for NBC's sake, to some non-Thursday night shows under the Tartikoff era, because this will give you an idea of why NBC really regained its success. So, The Golden Girls.
Right.
Huge sitcom, because nothing had ever been done like that.
Like, I liked Golden Girls, but it was never, like, my favorite. Does that make sense? Like, it was never,
makes
like
sense.
It was one of those, like, oh, I could watch an episode of Golden Girls. Like,
The writing is phenomenal, though, on that show. It really is, and the acting. Non-sitcom, though, Miami Vice, we got to mention. I mean, there's a huge hit for NBC.
See, what Miami Vice represents to me is NBC was, during the Tartikoff era, they were willing to take risks. If you watch, like, the first episode of Miami Vice is, like, 2 hours, like a movie.
It's like a movie.
And it's filmed on, like, real film and everything.
Yep.
And it's like, whoa, this is like a cinematic thing, right?
Yeah.
And then they treated the episodes, once the show got started, they still had that high quality and glossiness,
mm-hmm,
but they were just shorter.
Yeah.
And like the fact that the quality was so high on that, especially like the first two-ish seasons, holy crap, like the first like two-ish seasons of that show are excellent.
Influential not only in a genre, but in the pop culture for a period of time.
They're serious, but they have a little playfulness to them, but they're well made.
Really well made.
Yeah.
Not as good as Fuji Vice.
Not as good as Fuji Vice, but
different story.
I'm Morocco. This is Fuji. We're here to see the Seahawks.
The A-Team was another one. A totally different type of show than Miami Vice.
That feels like tailor-made for like, what if we did like a kid's adventure show like during the night? like during prime time. That's like what it is, right?
And people
like,
loved it for
they're like
years.
A group of superheroes, basically, yes. Just doing dumb shit.
I love Mr. T and all that. It's
great. More in the MacGyver vein, right?
It's more MacGyverish than it is Miami Vice, right, that's for sure. Another big one for NBC, I have to say, it was ALF in the 80s. It was a big deal.
I love ALF.
It's okay.
It's just that ALF is so zany. ALF is like, what if we could put a cartoon on TV but live action? And it just weirdly works.
And everyone just accepted this fucking alien.
Like fucking just ALF is just, people are like, okay. Yeah. Like, it was like, this is fine. We don't have a, because ALF's funny.
He was funny.
Yeah, he's sarcastic. That's like why I love him.
He was funny.
He's stupid.
Right? Stupid.
What do you call a mushroom that buys all the drinks? A fun guy to be with.
L.A. Law. What about that one? That was another big one.
I mean, yeah, that one was big, but it was right before my time.
Yeah, same here.
But my parents were into it.
Very popular. Another show that was greenlit during the Tartikoff era, much to my dismay, and I'm just kidding, so don't write me angry letters. I'm not really kidding. Was Empty Nest.
I loved it.
I know why.
That fucking dentist's office, man.
It's okay.
Like, and his secretary. It was funny.
It's very much in a 4 out of 10, like 6 out of 10. It's in that range. It's okay.
You know what? It occupies a place in my head, Joe. It was that show that was on before the good shows.
Yes.
And like, I had always like, to me, rung in. It's like, now it's time for primetime television, right? It's like Empty Nest is on.
Rain or shine, I'll be one to share it all as life goes on.
It's all right. Like, yeah. I don't hate it. My mom liked it a real lot. I was like, okay.
I didn't love it, but it always gave me happy memories. That's all.
I won't hold that against you. Here's one that didn't give me happy memories, but it was a big one for NBC. Unsolved Mysteries. Robert Stack.
So this show is possibly fiction. It possibly isn't. I don't know.
It's unsolved, Quinn.
I'll tell you what, though. It's spooky as hell, those reenactments.
They're really, like, too much budget in that.
Michael began acting abnormally. Barbara Rosenblum found a bottle of painkillers in his bedroom. She banished Michael and his girlfriend Lisa from their home. They left in Lisa's car.
I can never believe how well produced the reenactments are, because they're also like, if you notice, they're like intentionally made to look sort of crappy, but it's still high budget enough that like the stuff that happens is spooky.
I know.
I used to watch sometimes like an Unsolved Mystery repeat before I went to bed, and I was
Don't do that.
I was like dreaming about it, and I'm like, oh God. Like, I would have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I'd be like, and I'd just be thinking of Robert Stack in a fucking cemetery. A specter was discovered in the hallway of a bathroom, like of a house or something.
On the night of July 14th, 1982.
That is a terrible impression of me.
With the trench coat, like, yeah. He knew what he was doing.
It's always foggy. Yeah. Like, it's like, ugh.
If Robert Stack knew what the hell he was doing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
In that show, by the way. Just,
if you want to, like, if it's Halloween and you want to give the kids a scare, like a fun scare, show them an episode on Unsolved Mysteries.
Hey, kids, you want to gather around.
And, like, one of those that has the update at the end.
Update. We don't know shit.
Update. Something happened. We'll follow up later.
Someone else died.
Yeah.
Update. Shut your ass.
NBC's success held up throughout the late 80s, but it did begin to dwindle in the early 90s. One of the reasons was ABC's TGIF was a Friday night monster.
Juggernaut.
I would say so, Quinn. Its Tuesdays were doing great as well, because by the late 80s, early 90s, ABC had Roseanne on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. and also by 91, Home Improvement.
So what ABC
and Full House
clearly did is they saw with the Cosby Show, the success it brought, the family sitcom, and they said, what if we just went like everything was a family sitcom, basically? Right? Yeah. ABC just went like whole hog into it. Here's the thing, is NBC really did hit on something that was super popular. And the fact that ABC just went insane with it was like, it worked.
The guy,
like, right?
Stand-up comedians, but shows. I mean, Roseanne, Tim Allen.
Yeah. People with their family, like, getting into zany situations, right?
Consumables, right?
Yeah.
Consumables.
That's all people wanted to see, because they could watch it with their kids.
Yep. Now, Fox, for their part, I remember when this happened, but I didn't know why at the time. So, folks, maybe you don't know why and you're learning this. Maybe you are, Quinn. The Simpsons had always aired on Sundays
right.
for the first few years. But they moved The Simpsons, Fox did, to Thursdays explicitly to fuck over The Cosby Show.
And, okay, again, this is not like now where The Simpsons is a zombie show. Although, I've recently heard The Simpsons is like back or something. Like, it's much better than it was.
It's been on so long that I have no idea.
It's in like a new phase of good. They're calling it New Simpsons, where it's like actually well done.
Anyway,
the point is this is like prime Simpsons when it was like
early 90s, mid 90s. Hell yeah!
It was like if you put The Simpsons on, people will change the channel and go watch The Simpsons because it's like perfect.
And it did fuck over The Cosby Show. Ratings were falling anyway, and Cosby.
I mean, by that point, the Cosby Show is like kind of like on its last legs, right?
The last 2 years are touch and go.
Once you have What's Her Head, Raven Simone,
and like, Cousin Pam, don't forget the last season.
Yeah, the whole Cousin Pam saga about setting her straight, and we're gonna, and then by the end, she's like, "I'm going to college," and it's like, great.
And in 1993, this is not good news for NBC. Ted Danson, Sam Malone, if you will, from Cheers. He announced to NBC that he was not going to return for another season of Cheers.
But so, Cheers was on like season 11 by
it
that
was,
point.
It was. It went to 11.
Right.
These go to an overused joke.
Meanwhile, let's skip back to 1991 real quick. Brandon Tarikoff left NBC to accept a position at Paramount.
Huh.
Okay. So his successor, another fellow that, again, you may have heard of if you're into this type of thing, like if you can't tell, I am, is Warren Littlefield.
I'm the new guy. Ted Danson has said to the crowd, advertisers, the press, the affiliates, Warren's the man.
So Warren Littlefield was mainly absorbed during this time, like 91, 92, with that whole late night fiasco available where, Quinn?
In the archive.
In the archive. We forgot to say that earlier in the show. A new studio. I got thrown off.
Right.
But
that's okay.
We do have 61 other episodes available in the archives. Okay. And so he was mainly dealing with the Leno Letterman deal in 92.
Ugh.
Yeah. But he was also very active in primetime. And he was advocating for a certain struggling sitcom about nothing. But in the summer of 93, again, under Warren Littlefield at this point, after Cheers had the second highest rated series finale ever behind MASH.
It's a great series finale, too.
It is. I love One for the Road. Yeah, it's good. Sorry, we're closed.
It's a two-parter.
It is a two-parter.
It's also got the recap episode of the entire
the
show.
The whole thing is good.
Yeah. That whole night of television is like probably one of the best things ever.
My brother, who, if you're new to the show, I didn't live with him. He's my half-brother. I call him my brother. Five and a half years older than me. He has the original broadcast on tape.
Like taped. Because it was good. They
it was
just
so good,
they
man.
Were like, we're just going to like give Cheers like a huge send-off. Like they gave it like the whole night, basically.
Cheers to Cheers, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Cheers, Last Call is next on NBC.
And they reran that in August of 93. They knew it would pull ratings if they
just
reran
the finale.
The
whole thing, yeah.
And when they were doing that, a producer at NBC by the name of Dan Holm, he came up with a slogan for the Thursday night lineup that would feature some reruns. And that slogan was, "Must See TV." And we will see what happened there on the other side of this break. Folks, in the meantime, I don't know, What do people need to do these days?
I don't know. Get iced tea or something.
Get some iced tea, whether it's Nest tea or...
Yeah.
I like Lipton's. There's also
Brisk
Arizona.
Brisk is too sugary now. They up the sugar. Arizona is like the king.
Arizona's pretty king.
Yeah.
Folks, get your iced tea and let us know what kind it is at AW1 Podcast on Twitter. One way or another, though, whatever you're doing. We will talk about Must See TV and its lineups in the 90s on the other side of this break. What more? Ask to Wash Memories returns.
Tea in the afternoon.
Tea, everyone.
Oh, why, thank you, Vendela.
Introducing Lipton Original Iced Tea. All natural, with a taste so original, you'll have to guzzle it, gulp it, chug it, but never sip. Lipton Original. This ain't no sippin' tea.
TV. Next, it's an all-new must-see TV, and you gotta see what Kramer's barber did to Jerry.
Look at him. He's grotesque.
A must-see haircut. And then, Frasier in commercials?
These promos are easy money.
The money is irrelevant. It's a question of integrity.
Hello?
All-new must-see TV, NBC Tonight.
In a hurry? Pressed for time. A lot on your plate? An hour of things to do and only half an hour to do them? At Wendy's, we have five fresh salads for people like you. Deluxe garden and grilled chicken salads with a soft breadstick. Taco salads. And we make them fresh every day because that's the way they're best. So if you only have a second, hurry to Wendy's for a salad. They're fresh, fast, and ready to go.
Have a nice day.
And now we return to more acid-washed memories.
And welcome back to Acid-Wash Memories. This is episode number 62. We're talking about must-see TV. I'm Joe Morata. That's Michael Quinn.
Howdy.
Here for this broadcast, right? Yeah, this live broadcast.
Live and in living color.
Yes. We hope you had some iced tea of some kind.
Yeah, Arizona, hopefully.
Hopefully Arizona. Either way, though, thank you guys for being with us here. Hey, just want to remind you, follow us on Twitter if you don't, at AWM Podcast. Join our Facebook group. Let us know your favorite ALF theme and things like that.
The sax one.
Yeah, the sax one. It's got to be Quinn. Mm-hmm. And also, if you don't mind, if you have a podcast app, which I'm assuming you do,
I hope you're listening. I hope you're not in the web browser on
right,
your phone listening
on
to this.
Safari. But if you're listening on a podcast app and they allow you to leave a review, we'd really appreciate that.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Alyssa will remind you
it's
later
helpful.
In the show. It is. I guess one thing, Quinn, before we delve into the lineups here, prime time matters, right? Because that's where there's the most eyeballs on TV.
Well,
in the
most advertising revenue.
There you go, right? So that's why this is such a hot bed of competition.
Right. This is where you put your A shows.
Right. And Thursdays in particular, not that it's the only good night, Thursday is a particularly good one because most people go out on Fridays, families stay in, that's why ABC did TGIF on Fridays.
Right.
Saturdays and Sundays, not good TV nights, typically.
No. I mean, the weekend is really reserved for sports, though, because people do watch sports, and plus sports can be put on at public places like bars and restaurants. Yeah, you know.
So between Monday to Thursday, those are your prime TV nights.
Yeah. You let the NFL take over and the NBA on Saturday.
Exactly. And even baseball sometimes. Yeah. So Thursdays are really good. For me personally, I love Thursdays, even in my adult life, because you know that tomorrow's Friday.
Right. Although Wednesday holds a special spot for TV because you've made it over the hump.
Oh,
like Wednesday night.
Okay.
Wednesday night's not bad. Wonder Years used to be on Wednesday night. I remember that.
Let's know your favorite TV watching night, folks.
Yeah.
So in August of 93, Dan Holm, who had coined this phrase, must-see TV, it made its debut, and it was promoting reruns. Reruns including Cheers and a few shows we haven't talked about yet. Mad About You.
Yes.
Wings.
Uh-huh.
And Seinfeld.
Yeah, Seinfeld.
Now, folks, we're going to do broad strokes on some of these shows because we will be doing full-length episodes.
Seinfeld especially will obviously have its own thing.
It might get its own, series, a few parts.
Wow, it's that? You think,
I think it might need it.
And why do they call it Hood? What is it, like the entire city's a giant sweatshirt and that's the part you pull over your head? What? Yeah, that's the deal.
Seinfeld in 93 was finally starting to pick up the steam.
What season are we at by that point?
That would be
three,
right,
two?
Before season five. No, it was a big deal, but four was their big breakthrough. But
I thought three is the good one.
I think three is good, but four was the one where they really hit. They were following Cheers at 9:30
right,
for a period of time. And then when Cheers ended, they put Seinfeld in the 9 o'clock spot.
Yeah,
prime.
We have full confidence that this is the number one show.
Correct.
The thing that is interesting about Seinfeld is before it was moved to this spot, I don't think the rest of the country agreed that it was the number one show.
No, I mean, it wasn't even the number one show for another season or two.
This was a bet by NBC. They were like, our TV people think that this is the one.
Correct.
Right?
Now, what do you think, Quinn, of Wings? I know we've talked about it here and there.
I'm always very conflicted on Wings because Wings, I never loved it, but how do I put it? Like, remember how I was saying about Empty Nest, how it has this, like, very very much, like, starting lineup, like, kind of thing to it? Like,
it's in that vein for me, too.
It's, like, it's just there to be, like, this show's sort of friendly and, like, and like cozy, but it's not great.
I never thought it was great either.
And it's just there to be there.
Yeah.
That's what Wings is, like, the Empty Nest of this era.
I think that's a fair point, actually. Right. It's fine, but it's also not, like, the season finale, the series finale, does anyone know about it? You know what I mean?
I thought that show was just randomly canceled.
I'm not even kidding.
Like, I didn't even know it had a season.
A one-hour must-see event. Wings, The Final Flight. NBC Wednesday.
Mad About You. What do you think about Mad About You?
I love this show. It's not like it's a all-time great.
Right.
It's a show that it has a vibe. It's got a New Yorkiness about it.
It's
funny. It's sophisticated. It's interesting. First of all, I was saying this before, I love the premise of it. It's kind of like, what if at the end of Harry Met Sally, they got married instead, right? And they just lived together, and, like, they didn't have kids or anything. They were just, like, a married couple.
A dog.
In New York with their jobs and their dog and their, and this and that. And, like, I feel like the humor and the vibe and the style is very much that. It's Harry Met Sally in sitcom form.
I'd agree with you, because I think Paul Reiser is a poor man's Billy Crystal.
Right.
And a little Seinfeld.
And Helen Hunt.
She's excellent.
A lot of people think of Helen Hunt as a movie actress now, but
Twister.
this is where we were introduced to Helen Hunt. Am I correct about that? Because there was another actress.
That's the first time I knew about Helen Hunt.
Right?
Was, like, Mad About You.
I thought it was insane that she moved to movies, because she was just so closely associated with Mad About You before.
For me, too.
This. Yeah.
And also, Lisa Kudrow was Ursula the Waitress, which they parlayed into Friends, another show we'll talk about. Yeah, Mad About You is... You know how, remember Yes Dear on CBS?
Not really.
With Mike from Guts,
I know,
Michael Malick.
No, I know what it is, but I just didn't care about it.
No one did.
In comparison, Mad About You felt like a way better. Mad About You is like a step above the Empty Nests and Wings of the world.
I think so.
But it's not.
It ain't Seinfeld.
It's not. It doesn't cross over into Cheers and Seinfeld territory. It holds like it's like in a perfect spot. And I don't know how else to explain it other than that.
It's fine.
It's exactly what it should be. But I do think it's a shame that of a lot of the must-see TV shows, I feel like it was kind of like forgotten.
Tell me you didn't mail the invitations.
I didn't mail the invitations.
Oh, thank God.
What?
What does this say?
Gus and Teresa Stemple and Bert and Sylvia Buckman request the honor of your presence.
What does this say?
Gus and Teresa Stemple and Bert and Sylvia Buckman request
what the... What does this say?
Gus and Teresa Stemple and Bert and Sylvania Buckman...
Oh, God! I mailed them.
You said you didn't mail them.
You told me to say that.
Where did you mail them?
I mailed one on the corner.
On the mailbox?
No, on a fire hydrant.
I thought they had great chemistry.
I really don't have a problem with that show.
To me, this is just more of a defense of Mad About You, in that I think it's like kind of like under the radar good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
My grandparents loved it.
Yeah. We had no problem watching this show.
I never had a problem with it either. So the slogan of must-see TV was established, and they would start using it in earnest for the 93-94 fall season, okay?
Right.
So just to give you a quick idea, we're not going to run this down for every single year, but the lineup, we mentioned the Cheers reruns, you know, for the first branding. So the lineup for the 93-94 season was Mad About You at 8,
right.
Then Wings, mm-hmm. Seinfeld in the prime spot.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Jerry Seinfeld. Most of you know me as the character Pat on Saturday Night Live. But Thursday, I'm moving over to Seinfeld in its new time slot, Thursday at 9 o'clock.
The last one here is cool because it's kind of bringing it into the sphere. It's bringing something from the old into the new must-see TV era.
And that show would be the Cheer spinoff, Frasier.
Let me say this about Frasier.
I'll come down, Niles.
What I like about Frasier is that while, yes, it's a spinoff, it's so distinctly different from Cheers.
Yep, on purpose too.
In a lot of ways, like the weird black with the white font, like
and here's
like this thing that's about to happen, like with a little title, almost like it's like a chapter or a little story,
like a silent film, like title card type of thing. Yeah,
and it's like and it just starts with the simple like Frasier, the logo, and then like a little ball bouncing or something,
yeah,
like on
it.
The Seattle thing.
I love Frasier.
Like it's so 90s and casual, and it's kind of like, it's got this vibe of like, I just want to have like a cup of coffee and watch this show, right? It's
There's
like,
something about that. Yeah.
And it's like, do,
the beautiful apartment that he has.
Yeah, it's sophisticated, but like, that's almost like, that's a backdrop to Frasier's ridiculousness. It's like his like...
That's what I love. The juxtaposition of the classiness of the presentation and everyone on the show is insane.
But it plays to the whole what Frasier is that he has this veil of sophistication, but he's really a fucking maniac or whatever. Like, he's like stupid.
Uptight, insecure, petty, paranoid.
Exactly. Which was Frasier from Cheers. I always thought it was funny, right? Because that they picked Frasier. When I first was a kid, I was like, it's weird that it's Frasier. I would think they'd follow Norm or something, like, or maybe even Carla,
right?
Because she had those kids.
Well, they did. The Tortellis, the spinoff.
Yeah, but that
no one cared.
Yeah, but the fact that it was Frasier was the one that hit. Because Frasier went on for like 12, it just went on as long as Cheers.
It went on literally as long as Cheers, or 10 years or something.
Because it was just like, it was like they found the character. They found like, Frasier was his own bag of worms, and like, there was like this whole thing with him.
I think he nailed it. Yeah. I think that show is, people have the debate sometimes, you know, Cheers versus Frasier. We won't get into that here. But personally, I like Frasier more. I know Quinn likes Cheers more.
I like Cheers more, but I still love Frasier.
It's a great show.
It's because I think the latter half of Frasier focuses too much on
Niles
and
Daphne.
And I'm just like, okay.
I know. There's like 4 years of that.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Like, we just get on with it.
Right.
Dashing and yet understated. And, I give up. What are we talking about?
My mustache. I grant you, it's at an early stage.
What stage? Research and development?
That's the sitcom end of it.
Yes.
But the 10 o'clock programming.
Hour three.
Yeah. Usually a 1 hour drama.
Right.
Most of the time, for the fall and the spring, was LA Law, which we had mentioned.
Right, which was an existing thing.
But in the winter, there was Homicide: Life on the Street.
Which was like a landmark show.
Yeah.
This was like a police procedural kind of thing. But very gritty and raw and stuff like that. I mean, I feel like Homicide didn't go on very long. It was like two.
No, it was on for 6 years.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, that's short actually. For back in the 90s, like everything went 10 seasons.
That's a good point. Yeah,
because like, I remember thinking in my kid brain that I was like, this felt like too good or too prestige to be on like too long.
And it was never really a top rating. So it's
wasn't
big,
about that.
No.
This is our legacy. Like, that's what you know what I mean? Like, this is our real hard show that we're going to delve into the deep shit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It was like, that was what Homicide was about. And like, it was very good.
Even in the name, it sounds menacing, right?
Yeah.
Like, Homicide.
It's kind of like how, it's kind of like how Twin Peaks is not like a high rated show. Well, I guess it had a high rating, but the point is, it's like,
no pun intended,
Twin Peaks is like an artsy fartsy, like,
yes,
this is like an achievement thing.
Yes.
Right.
Agreed. Yes.
Right?
It's not artistic achievement.
It's not meant to like bring everyone in. It's meant to give the network prestige.
Much
right?
like our show, Quinn.
Yeah.
Much like this show we're doing right here.
To this day, like, AMC was good at that, where there was shows like, not Mad Men was highly rated, but like,
yes,
like Halt and Catch Fire was not highly rated, but
I remember that one.
It was not like ratings, but as far as its critical reception, it was like one of the best shows ever.
Correct.
Like it's to bring prestige to the network.
The critics and the ratings sometimes are exclusive to each other. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And sometimes I swear these executives, they have pet projects that they know are not going to pull in the ratings. They're there to give the network a prestige.
Absolutely. 100%.
Homicide is back, and the best new series of 93 is even better.
For the 94-95 season, we retained Mad About You at the 8 o'clock lead-in spot all season long. Now, for the fall and winter of 94, the 8:30 spot was held by a new sitcom.
A newcomer.
Friends.
The first season of Friends, at that... Does anybody
the weird 8:30 spot, by the way?
Yeah, but does anyone not think that Friends is like, it's such a good first season? Like, it's so good.
I think it is. I don't know if it's my
It's got some real memorable episodes.
It does.
Like, it's got some real
bangers. Friends gets,
season two might be slightly better.
It's better.
But
I think each season gets better until about four.
Yeah.
And then five and onward.
But it's a very strong opening. And the one thing I will say, just so, because I know there'll be people out there, Friends is kind of a big ripoff of Living Single. Like, Living Single.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Because one thing, I rewatched Living Single recently, and I was like, Living Single was like a year before Friends.
Yes.
And when you watch the first season of Living Single, and then you know about Friends, you're like, holy shit, this is like the same show.
I agree
with
you.
It's like, this is like, it's the same thing. They just didn't, Living Single got like forgotten about, but like, it was very well written. They had very strong characters, Living Single, and it was like, holy shit, like, Living Single doesn't get enough love.
I think to this day that is true.
Yeah.
That it doesn't get enough love.
Because it really is the Friends before Friends.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can think what you want about Friends, and you're probably right about a lot of that, but it was very successful, and I really liked about the first 5 years of it, real lot.
It's excellent.
I think so. I think it's very funny.
Are you one of those, you've told me this before, are you one of those that when they went to England and the Joey Hat episode is kind of the like last hurrah before it like goes downhill or something?
The last hurrah for me personally, again, we'll talk more
Joey
one day.
Hat episode.
It's not the Joey Hat one. It's actually the season after. It's the one. No, not even.
It's the one where
Monica and Chandler get engaged.
Okay,
that's the end of it for me. That's season six, I think.
Didn't it notably take a dip though, and then it like has this weird resurgence in the last like two-ish seasons.
Some people say that 10 is okay. Some people hate 10.
A lot of people say that they feel that the last two seasons are strong.
It's because like, 8 was ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 was like total ass buckets.
Yeah.
It was like horrible. Anyway, we'll talk more one day, so we're going to breeze past it. But also, in the spring of 95 in this season was a show named Hope and Gloria, which I only remember the name of.
I don't even remember. What is this, like one season? Not even?
Yeah, about a season and a half. Seinfeld still holding down the 9 o'clock spot.
Must See TV just became Seinfeld, right?
Like, yes.
I think we have to acknowledge, do you feel like we've gone in too much on Seinfeld? But
I mean, some people hate Seinfeld, but one day we're going to change your minds, folks, but not now.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld was a big deal for NBC. It caught fire around 92.
Yeah. By this point now, Seinfeld's in its like, it's
they
firing,
can do no wrong.
It's firing on all cylinders. Yeah. People are watching this lineup for Seinfeld. Like, they're not here for even Mad About You or Friends or any of that shit, right?
It's I agree with you.
Right? They're here for Seinfeld.
I think so.
A lesson in sign language. Kramer once made Susan's lover fall in love with him. How did he do it?
I'm Kramer.
Know your Seinfeld Thursdays.
So in 9:30 for the fall and winter.
What is this? I don't even remember this.
Madman of the People.
Who are these people that I'm looking at?
Who
right?
is Dabney Coleman and Conchita Tomei?
The guy with the Conchita mustache Tomei. Looks familiar.
Is Conchita Tomei related to Marissa? Anyway, but then in the spring, remember, Friends was only on for the...
They shifted Friends' time slot, basically. They move Friends...
Now that feels wrong.
To after, which 9:30 is supposed to be the bullshit show. Like the cool down show, like Veronica's Closet or something, which we'll get into later. But like, yes, like it's like the crap show. It's weird that they move Friends there. It's almost like they were like, maybe we can reinvigorate the 9:30 slot or something, right?
Normally, when they have a show that they want to build an audience, they will put it right behind the strong one. Seinfeld used to follow Cheers for the same reason. So I think by the spring of 95, they were like, well, if we put Friends behind Seinfeld, maybe that'll help Friends out.
It's just weird to think that because as the 90s went along, I feel like the bullshit crap would end up after Seinfeld, not
eventually, yes.
Yeah, and the thing between the 8:30 slot was like dead.
Yeah, no, that was like the experimental slot.
Yeah, like, but the 9:30 was kind of like the, like, you might make it, but like not really.
You're right.
But, like, it's like a good enough show, but it's not 8:30 sucked ass.
It did. Like 8 and 9 were the anchors.
Yeah.
8:30 and 9:30 was like the Wild West. Yeah. You never knew what the fuck was going to happen.
Yeah, but I always felt like 9:30 had a better shot at being good than 8:30. So. Like 8:30 some real crap.
It's true. Like,
it is kind of, maybe I shouldn't have said that because then Friends was at 8:30 before.
Yeah, but briefly.
Maybe they did realize it's like, maybe Friends is a little higher tier.
They moved to 9:30. Yes. It's the next step up. Now, the 94-95 season in the 10 o'clock drama spot saw the debut of a long runner.
Is it still on? I'm not even sure.
It wasn't Grey's Anatomy until like we were way too old to know that.
I don't know. Okay, but it is
ER.
ER.
George Clooney.
So.
And Friends.
If you thought there were no heroes left.
How dare you say treat your child like this? He's a little kid.
Just look a little closer.
Helping them is more important than how we feel.
Experience the compassion and triumph of this team. ER, Thursdays this fall on NBC.
I gotta say, when ER came about, the hype, man. This was like, we got all our best young actors on this here, right? Juliana Margulies, right? George Clooney, Noah Wiley. Remember Noah Wiley?
Yeah, I remember Noah Wiley.
These people, like, this was Anthony Edwards, like, Sherry Springfield. Like, there's all these, like, people that were, like, they're almost, like, too good for television. Was the concept of ER,
Here's
a bunch of people that are probably going to be in the movies of the future. Like, I almost feel like they probably wanted Leonardo DiCaprio to be on this show, right? It's like
he was like 20.
Yeah, but still as the boy wonder, whatever, you know? The point is that ER was like this super prestige, but also like, this is actually going to get high ratings.
And it actually did.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a ton of, by the way, this ran until 2009.
Yeah.
It started in 94.
That's what I mean. It was on forever.
Remember John Stamos was on it for a period of time?
What I was saying about the cast is like, that was the gimmick of ER, is that it was like a rotating prestige actor cast.
And
right?
John Stamos. No,
it's kind of like Law and Order. Right?
Similar, yeah.
Which we didn't even mention in the, CBS, shows that were, big for them.
So you're right. It's the same concept. It's just the work setting is different, right?
But it was highly successful.
Oh, it was huge.
Honestly, this is what made, in my opinion, must-see TV super big. Because as we get into the next one, I feel like it solidifies.
Yes.
There's a big three, and they're there for the 90s. They are, three of the biggest shows.
I agree with you.
Point. Yeah.
So that's the 95-96 season that Quinn is talking about. So we keep Friends now at 8 o'clock.
They upgraded that super quick. They were like, no, Friends is too good. And season 2 is like an all-time classic. That has that Thanksgiving episode.
With the football.
With the football.
Yeah. 2 is really, Chandler gets the good hair.
Yeah.
Instead of the floppy.
Yep.
Shemperry has the nice hair. Joey's hair is all, everyone's hair is better.
It's good. Everyone, I mean, the Rachel haircut.
That's around season 2, I think, right? Or 3, I can't remember. But yeah. So Friends becomes the 8 o'clock anchor, and it stays that way the rest of its run.
And Seinfeld's now here right in the dead center.
Yes.
And Seinfeld's just cooking, so we're not worried about Seinfeld.
This is the season, Larry David's last one, season 7, where you've got the soup Nazi, the Susan and George get engaged, and
I don't think it's the 95 season, because there's 2 more seasons after this. It's not the second
to
last.
No, it's Larry David's last one, I said.
Oh, it's Larry David's. Okay. Soup Nazi's on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good episodes.
That's that season's great.
It's the first one where Elaine has the curly hair.
Yes.
I like the straight hair.
Well, the straight hair is the more snotty version of Elaine, the straight hair edition.
Yeah, you're right.
Anytime she has the straight hair, she's a big jerk. Suddenly she's the mean one.
Yeah,
Did you ever notice that there's certain episodes where Elaine's the nice one, and then there's other episodes where Elaine's just an asshole? She alternates.
She's a lot nicer in the earlier years.
Yes.
It's very mean later.
Suddenly she becomes she's always got like black jeans and boots on,
or
and
it's a pantsuit.
It's a big asshole that
happened
to Putty. She treats Putty like shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, she has this contempt for Putty. Want to date this guy, but I just do.
Sex.
Yeah, I just put up with him.
Yeah.
He's awful.
It's because of the sex.
She comes over and she bitches about Putty all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Pay my face. Anyway, we should also mention, Quinn, I guess, that from here on until like we're done with Must See TV, ER is in the 10 o'clock spot.
Right. ER just, like, we don't even need to mention it. Very, very good.
Yeah.
And like they were just like, okay, we got our like serious show. Like, yeah. That, there it is.
So we're not going to even keep saying it because it's just in the 10 o'clock spot this entire time. Okay.
Right.
But the 8:30 spot, Quinn, and I definitely.
Here we go with the nonsense.
I remember watching the show when it was new. It was okay.
This sucked.
It's very, very empty nest to
did
me.
Did this even make it past the second?
It did.
The second season.
It did. It was two seasons. The Single Guy.
This fall, just when you thought Thursdays couldn't get any funnier.
Hello.
Two new faces hit Must See TV.
Yes.
Jonathan Silverman's The Single Guy.
Who's in this again? This show sucked, Joe.
I didn't say it was good. I liked it.
Jonathan Silverman.
So Joey Slotnick, who would actually eventually be on Boston Public for the first season.
Right. Yep. And why is he with the Waz in that picture?
Don't worry about it. And then
that's a weird him and the Waz.
Ming Na Wen, who of course played Chun-Li in the Street Fighter movie.
Oh, she was on TV?
Yep. Ernest. Like him. Ernest Borgnine. Yeah, course, he's good. Anyway, Jessica Hecht. The point that we're trying to make it, Dan Cortez even was in the show.
This seems like just a fucking mess, this show.
This is, in my opinion, this is an unscientific opinion. This is NBC trying to say, what if we had Friends, but Seinfeld was in it?
My name is Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And, well, I like other programs, too. So, well, here's what that website Wikipedia says about the show. Ahem. It was largely written off as a clone of the network's other singles in the city sitcoms that emerged in the mid-1990s following the success of Seinfeld and Friends. The Single Guy emulated many of the same traits and tropes. You know, that's how you really pronounce it, of those series, from the neurotic best friend who occasionally does reprehensible things to its main character's rotating cast of flawed girlfriends.
you know what I mean? Merge the two concepts.
Yeah, I honestly am not
horrible
joking around.
Joe.
It was okay, but also in the spring of 96, Boston Common replaced
okay, not
the
to be confused with Boston Public, which is an actual good show.
Starring Joey Slotnick.
Yeah.
Or Boston Legal, which is another show. Now, Boston Common was another one of these, like.
This looks hideous. Just from the title card. This looks hideous, Joe.
This is one more like the guy has the sister that is in the thing. And also, apparently, Margot Kidder.
This guy has the sister in the thing. That's a great description of this show.
Quinn, Margot Kidder was apparently in this show, and so was Zach Galifianakis.
Margot Kidder is well past her prime by this point.
I know.
Like, what?
Oh, Hetty Burris. Anyway, if you liked Boston Common, you shouldn't have. So,
how'd it get a second season?
I don't know. And then Seinfeld at 9. And then
here's a big one. Right?
This is on for 4 years.
This show, I love this show.
Decent show.
Yeah.
Starring, of course, Marty McFly's mom, Leah Thompson.
Yeah, and she's not old.
No, she's very beautiful.
Yeah.
Caroline in the City.
Next, everybody loves Caroline.
Look at all the fans I have.
It's just one guy, but if he gets out, he wants to meet you.
So when she can't draw a cartoon, it's the guys to the rescue.
This show was so, I guess I call it delightful. Like, it was just very happy. I don't know why. Like, the situation. It's kind of like a Single Girl in New York kind of situation, right? But it's that her job is she draws the comics in the newspaper.
That's what it is, yes.
And I always love, first of all, the set of her, like, workplace that's in her apartment with the drawing thing.
It's
like,
good.
I was like, this looks like my dream. Like, this kind of, like, this life that
it's
she's
cute.
Living, right?
Yeah, I agree.
It's just like, this show was just very pleasant, and it had, like, even the title card is her drawing in or whatever.
Sure.
I don't know, like, I just kind of loved it, right?
It's not a bad show. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that it's bad. It wasn't something I would go out of my way to watch, but it was good.
You know what the thing is? It was a vehicle for Leah Thompson, and I felt like it was well-deserved because she kind of was, like, on the down low after Back to the Future ended in 89.
90,
it was like,
yeah.
89, 90. Yeah, it's like she needed, like, something to get back in the zeitgeist, and she had, I would say more than her name, her face was known because she was Marty McFly's mom.
Yeah, she's very
like,
pretty.
It's like people, I just, not even the pretty, just like you see her and you're like, hey, that's Marty McFly's mom. Like, you know
that's
who she
Lorraine.
Is. That's Lorraine, right?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
like, it was like she kind of just fit, she slotted in perfectly. It was surprising that she didn't have a sitcom earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth a shot. I mean, it ran for 4 years. It wasn't like it wasn't successful.
Yeah, it worked.
It wasn't a big flop or anything. So we'll move on to the 96-97. We still got Friends.
Right.
Finally,
we didn't even mention quietly that Frasier has just bounced out of here.
Yeah, they moved it out.
Yeah, Frasier's like, it was like on Wednesdays forever.
You know what? I should mention that now. NBC got a little too big for their britches, and maybe some of you folks remember this, but for the 94-95 season, they introduced must-see TV Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday. So there's going to be two nights now.
And that was to compete with ABC, who
horrible.
Had Home Improvement.
It's supposed to be one night or no
I
one
know.
Cares.
Like, and with that, they moved over Frasier. They moved over Wings also to Tuesdays. And they had the John Larroquette show.
What?
The Martin Short show.
This is unnecessary.
News Radio.
News Radio was all right.
Very good. And Third Rock in 96, which was a good show.
Yeah, Third Rock is a good show.
Good show. John Lithgow,
Lithgow, yes.
Hi, 10-9-3-2-1.
Why are you associating with that? I mean, I associate him with Third Rock from the Sun.
So he's also in the Manhattan
also,
Project.
Also, what's her head's in it? The girl from SNL from the 70s is the love interest.
Jane Curtin? It's Jane Curtin,
it's,
right?
Yeah. You know what's great about Third Rock? It's two older actors getting, like, from the 70s, getting their own show.
You're right.
They're supposed to be older, and it kind of works.
It works.
Right? It's like, it's two comedy talents getting to actually, like, do stuff in a later era.
And also, Newman joins the show later.
Newman's in it.
As
yeah.
Dawn.
And there's
Remember?
Sally.
It's a good show. I actually really like
it. It's actually
show.
Like, it's one of those shows that the premise is stupid as hell.
Yeah.
But like,
so dumb.
But like, it completely like diverges from it. Like,
yes.
I swear there's a point where they stop mentioning that they're aliens. Like, it just never
they
ever.
Stop caring.
It just never gets mentioned ever again.
Didn't like, we, when we lived together, didn't we watch the whole like first season of that?
Well,
for
I
a
think
period
the,
of
yeah,
time?
But we never made it to like when they stopped.
No.
When they like really stopped emphasizing the alien thing,
right? But we did watch a bunch of it. Right, it's a good show.
Yeah.
Anyway, this did not stop them from adding in 95-96 Sunday must see TV.
Stop. Two of them was maybe possible, but three.
Well, how about the next year we do must-see TV Wednesdays?
No!
They did.
What is it, every day must-see TV?
That's why it watered it down. And I got to tell you, none of these extra days were nearly as strong as Thursdays.
No offense, no one cared about the other ones. People were like, Thursdays must-see TV.
Yeah.
Like, as a kid, I was like, it's only on Thursday.
Right.
I don't care what they say.
So
it's like, it's just not, because Tuesday has, like, Roseanne and shit on ABC.
Right.
Like, why the hell would
Home
I watch anything else?
Right. So they dropped all that shit by 99. So let's get back into the seasons here. So for the 96-97 season, again, Friends still the anchor. Mm-hmm. It's going to stay that way. The single guy had half a season here.
Fuck that. Get it out.
You hate that show,
because
huh?
Because here's the deal. Here's one that I love.
You like it better than The Single Guy?
Yes. Suddenly Susan.
Yeah, Brooke Shields. Suddenly
I
Susan.
I thought this was great.
It was.
Suddenly,
I didn't mind it.
The thing was about Brooke Shields is another person.
I farted once on the set of Blue Lagoon. Sorry.
Another person that I feel was due for a sitcom by the 90s. She wasn't a kid actress anymore. She was like a full-grown.
No, she was like 31 or something.
Yeah, like it was like, you know what? I felt comfortable having Brooke Shields as like a lead in a sitcom, and it worked. Like it was just a comfy show.
It was good enough.
Brooke Shields in situation comedy. What could go wrong, right?
I mean, it wasn't bad. It also had Judd Nelson in it.
Yes.
It had Bender. It also had Kathy Griffin, so that's
Kathy
not the point.
Griffin was, that was the last thing she was ever funny in. I'm not even kidding. Because in Seinfeld, she was even pegged as just annoying. Yeah.
In general, people peg her as annoying.
I mean,
yes.
That's her gimmick, though. I swear it's
great
all,
gimmick.
It's all trumped up. Like, she's
not
probably
good.
Not that annoying.
I think she is. Seinfeld was still holding it down at 9.
Yep.
And
see, Suddenly Susan, they're like, hey,
yeah,
like,
so,
this shit's good.
So it had started in the 9:30 spot. They bumped it after Friends, tried to get it in an audience. It worked. There were two other shows in the winter of 96-97. There was the Naked Truth.
I don't even remember this at all. I watched back then.
All I remember is the name, but apparently it starred Taya Leone and Holland Taylor.
Oh my God, Taya Leone got a show?
Yeah. So there were people, there were notable people in this, such as...
Yeah, I remember this now.
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry? Getting Tim Curry seems like a coup.
That is a coup.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's way too good for that.
That almost feels like a favor. You know what I mean?
I'll do it for you.
Because Taya Leone had some, like, people knew her.
Yeah, she was known.
Yeah.
There was also, replacing that in the spring part of the season, was Fired Up, which was...
This, I literally could not tell you what this is.
Well, Arlene Sorkin created it. She was best known...
Of Sorkin fame.
Best known for being the co-host of America's Funniest People with Dave Coulier, and also for...
Being married to the guy that made West Wing?
No, not married. And also voicing Harley Quinn initially in the Batman animated.
Oh, that's
her biggest claim to fame. She recently passed away.
Actually, that's a huge claim to fame.
It is.
For a lot of people, that meant a lot.
It was Arlene Sorkin. But I just wanted to point this out because I love Leah Remini, and she was one of the...
Oh, there actors, you go.
You know, Zach and Malibu Sands and all that. Stacey Carosi.
What a weird three, like, suddenly Susan's shifting around. They had no clue what they were doing in the 8:30 and 9:30.
No, they didn't.
It seemed, though, that suddenly Susan was the one they decided on, because that's the one that lasted through the whole thing.
Yeah.
They shifted it, but they
bumped it out of Thursdays.
Susan was all right.
It was on for 4 years. I mean, it did okay.
And after this, suddenly Susan Wright just goes to be on another night.
Yeah.
Like with another lineup.
It did fine. So the 97-98 season, we got Friends. In the fall...
What is this?
In the fall, we have a show called Union Square.
Excuse me?
I don't even know the name.
14 episodes with one unaired?
It sounds shitty.
Who is in this?
Mel Gorham, of course.
Who?
She is best known for her role as Violet in Wayne Wang's films.
What?
The Pink Lady. I don't know, Quinn. We're going to move on.
What the hell is Union Square?
Tell you what, though.
Just Shoot Me.
A show, yeah. They profited from being behind Friends for their first season.
Right.
Half of it. Just Shoot Me. This show was well-received enough, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wouldn't you say? I mean, David Spade is probably the biggest name.
Yeah, so, like, this is... It's a magazine, right? They work at a magazine.
Yeah.
And like, this show... was popular.
Yeah.
It had 7 seasons. Like, they...
It was on until 03.
Yeah, like, this show, it kind of just... This show is, like, one of those shows that you can tell it's, like, good enough where it's, like, it doesn't get canceled.
Right.
But yeah, it's not, like,
the
best
show ever. That's the only standard it needs to hit.
Yeah. It's just, like, one of those, like, that just kind of, like...
Just maintain.
It just flies through.
Yep.
And gets its probably 100 episodes so that they can get the royalties, right?
Exactly right.
Like, it just kind of worked.
Hello, I'm Maya.
Ah, well, bye.
No, I'm here to see Jack Gallo.
And I'm here to make sure you don't. Next time, call for an appointment. That way I can reject you on the phone. Then you won't have to get all... gussied up.
Again, not like... Look at its rank. It never was super... The highest it ever was number 12.
That's pretty good, but
that's
still,
good, but I'm just saying, yeah, that's like...
It wasn't
not,
like a
it
smash
didn't even make
hit.
The top 10 ever.
No, it never made the top 10. But like you said, 145 episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, it
and then
got
you could put it on Nick at Night.
Exactly.
And make money.
And I won't watch it. So that was...
Well, okay, wait a sec. There's one more here.
Yes, so we got Just Shoot Me at 8:30 for... The winter and spring
Friends
of 98.
Friends and Seinfeld, ER, it's all the same, right?
Yep. But 9:30 was the introduction of a new Kirstie Alley vehicle.
Yeah, she's back, baby.
Known as
she's got everything.
Known as Veronica's Closet.
Then Kirstie Alley show premieres.
Veronica's Closet. So what if we made Kirstie Alley, what if we kept all her loopy wackiness, right?
Yes.
This is why...
Which is real life, I think.
This is why I was okay with this show, was because she was still Rebecca. At the end, she was like, even though she wasn't, right?
Yeah.
She was still Rebecca, basically, but instead she's like a designer.
She's
of
Veronica.
Like, of, it's like fake Victoria's Secret, basically. And so basically it's just the misadventures of Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
And
Dan Cortez, by the way.
Yeah, Dan Cortez.
We got to get him on a show.
Yeah.
God forbid we
He's
don't.
He's so fun, Joe.
We got to figure out something to do with this. You know they were trying to figure out something to do with him like the entire
He's
decade.
He's been in some other things already talked about.
He's also on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know.
But anyway, like, this show, again, not amazing or anything.
No, it's not.
But to be quite honest with you, it's just like one of those, it's just enough.
Just enough.
It's just enough, right?
I'll agree.
It's just watchable.
It's okay.
Like,
yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Moving along here to the 98-99 season.
Now we're getting a little, again, we finally settled there's three shows.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know,
we
got to
remember something here. So yeah. Seinfeld had its season finale in May of 98. And who was going to step up to the plate and take this coveted spot? Frasier.
Okay. I'll put it this way, Joe. This felt in a weird way like they had to find the next best thing because Seinfeld was so reliable. And Frasier had already gone off and like been by itself
yeah.
for a while.
They weren't going to move Friends to 9.
Right.
Because it was
I
a great
lead. I feel like there was a lot of talk in the summer after Seinfeld of like, who are they going to put in Seinfeld's spot? And like, I think everyone was like being like, it's got to be Frasier. Like Frasier's yeah. like the next biggest thing NBC has.
It made sense. I think it was very acceptable to
yeah.
put Frasier there.
And so Frasier just kind of was there, but it wasn't long.
Two years.
It was only 2 years. Like, Frasier, I mean,
it was the transitional show. You know what I mean?
It was a transitional show to like the next era of must-see
yeah.
TV, right? And so Veronica's Closet lives on.
Yeah, at 9:30.
And Friends lives on, of course. And
8:30 is a little pickle.
In 98, can we say that I think it's the first year that I feel like the 8 o'clock show and the 9 o'clock show are almost like on equal footing for once? Like Friends and Frasier are both juggernauts.
Yeah, because nothing was touching Seinfeld.
Yeah, now Friends it's got like a peer that's at
yeah.
the 9 o'clock, and it's like now it's like maybe you turn it off after Friends, right? You might. Maybe you're not into Frasier
because
right?
there's no Seinfeld to stick around for.
Right. It is very interesting, but here's the thing: it's almost like they thought of that, right? Because first there's Jesse, whatever
yeah,
that
so,
is.
So Jesse was it was on for two seasons, but only for a little bit of the 98-99 in
this
spot.
Christina Applegate show. I remember this.
It didn't
Never mind.
Work.
That's so unfortunate to me because Christina Applegate,
talented as hell.
After Married with Children, it felt like she was due for her own thing, right?
She was. She's very good.
Jesse's ex-husband returns. Who will she choose?
Head spinning, room tilting.
She was in this nebulous position of like, should she go to movies?
Right.
Because she's big enough? Or should she stay in television?
She did a little of both. She was in The Sweetest Thing with Cameron Diaz, a bit of a cult classic.
I personally, when I was a kid, I felt she had transcended TV. I thought she was ready to like be in movies permanently.
Well, she proved that out for real with Anchorman.
Yeah.
That was the one.
Yeah.
You know, if there were ever one for her, you
right.
know, to be in. So that was only the fall and winter of 98 into 99.
This is the least changes in must-see TV we've ever seen because there's only one.
Yep.
Because so, ER, obviously, we're not even going to mention
still there.
That.
In the spring of 99, a brand new show, Will and Grace, came to the plate.
From the producer and director of Cheers, Will and Grace.
I like Will and Grace.
Now, I got to say, let's just put it this way. When you have Friends, Will and Grace, Frasier, Veronica's Closet, ER.
That's a good lineup, Quinn.
That's very consistent. That's very like
yeah, that's a
good even
one.
And balanced, if you ask me, as far as a lineup is concerned.
I agree with you.
There's no super peaks and drops or
no.
nothing. It's this is that might be one of the strongest lineups actually as far as like balance is concerned.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a good lineup. And Will and Grace is a good show, well
yeah.
acted. Deborah Messing's wonderful in it. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's a good show.
But here's
Sean
the weird-
Hayes is excellent.
But here's the weird thing. We get to next year, and they're like, fuck that. Let's bring back Jesse again.
Yeah, it was
right?
weird.
Like,
so,
what the hell?
So 8:30 for the first part of the year, 99 into 2000, was Jesse. And then replacing it in the spring of 2000 was Daddy-O, which...
What is this?
Michael,
what is this garbage show?
Michael Chiklis, yes.
Why is he getting a show?
The commish.
Yeah, the commish.
That's what he was at
but
that
But as
time.
Like a sitcom dad.
We
what
don't
is
need
this?
That.
What
I'm,
is this crap?
I don't know.
He's the commish. He's not supposed to be... He's supposed to be doing serious shit.
Commish type shit.
Yeah.
That did not last that
Horrible.
Long. Frasier.
I feel like they felt like, okay, we have Friends and Frasier and ER. We could do whatever the fuck we want.
I think
like,
they were trying that.
Yeah.
Stark Raving Mad took over the 9:30 slot.
This, right?
I remember the name. It was Tony Shalhoub and Doogie. Neil Patrick Harris.
Get the fuck out of here. No.
And I don't remember it. I remember the name.
Well, one season, Joe. That's all you need to say.
One season.
Thursday on an all-new Stark Raving Mad.
Hang on one short moment.
Hang on one short moment.
Henry and Ian try role-playing during therapy.
She didn't say start yet. I was not notified that the exercise had begun.
And then obviously.
Obviously the most memorable show, Battery Park.
Battery Park, of course.
What is What?
Well, Battery Park had one season of seven episodes.
Seven episodes.
Nobody ever even knows
what this is.
The only person I've heard of is Sam Lloyd, who, of course...
It doesn't even have a description of what the show is. Like, in the Wikipedia page, it literally doesn't say what it is.
And from the creators of Spin City come the cops of Battery Park.
All right. For 2000-2001, Friends is doing fine still, despite me not liking it as much anymore.
We're in the weird era right now of Friends.
I don't like it. At 8:30, there was a show named as
Cursed,
which was apparently renamed the Weber Show.
Those are two very disparate names.
Cursed, the Weber Show. The only person I recognize here is Chris Elliott from Letterman and Tostitos commercials and
also
Cabin Boy.
Also, Schitt's Creek, Chris Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
He's huge in that.
Yeah, yeah, good point. I'm not a big watcher of that, but yeah.
You got to pick that up, Joe. You would love that show.
I would.
It's like, O'Hara. It's totally up your alley as like a show you would love.
Okay, fair
enough.
Watch
that with your wife at night. It's funny.
I don't know if she'll like it.
It's really good.
I believe you.
Well, it's got family elements, too. She'll love it.
Oh, yeah, because of the family. Will and Grace took over the 9 o'clock spot with Frasier relocated.
Move.
Yep.
What a good move, because here's the thing. Will and Grace, I felt like knocking it out of must-see TV felt like a mistake.
Yeah, keep it there. Put it in 9. Frasier can go anchor another
day. Frasier can be wherever the hell it wants. They could put Frasier on Sunday and people would watch
it. Yeah, it's Frasier.
Yeah, it's Frasier.
It's good.
Come down, Niles.
Come down. Who watches PBS?
And actually, the next show after Will and Grace is good.
Just Shoot Me. So that's
Just Shoot Me is like kind of like an underrated, but like it's appreciated.
Yeah, like we said, right? Like it
works in the Veronica's Closet spot since Veronica's gone out of her closet somewhere else.
She cleaned out her closet. Yeah. It's all over. 2001, 2002. Friends,
we're getting late here.
Yeah, Friends is even worse. here's the deal.
What happened here?
Let's preface this now. Friends is 8. Will and Grace is 9. Just Shoot Me is 9:30.
That's very stable. And ER is just ER.
In the spring of 2002, they re-ran Friends for a period of time, just to like...
What the fuck is this? It was like Friends comes on after Friends?
Yeah,
like,
they didn't know what to do. But in the fall, there was a show, I'm sure everyone TiVo'd this, Inside Schwartz.
Can I read the plot of this just out loud? After losing a longtime girlfriend, minor league sportscaster Adam Schwartz's dating life is illustrated by sports highlights as presented by Fox Sportsnet, in which various pro sports personalities appear. For instance, when Adam's date reveals that she has 3 children, a referee appears and makes the call, too many players on the field. F this shit. What is this wacky ass shit?
Brecken Meyer was the one that starred.
Horrible!
Richard Klein apparently took this. That's Larry from Three's Company.
This is
Jack Tripper's
this
friend.
This is unnecessary, Joe.
And Brian Callen from Mad TV, and also a movie where I can't think of the name of where he has an
this
accent.
Sounds like,
Hangover.
This sounds like, hey, we got a bunch of people that really need a break.
Yeah.
They really need help, and like we're going to put them on this.
It's pretty bad, to be honest with
you. It's a horrible idea for a show, like where the sports like things apply to life or whatever.
Now, if you are a big fan of Inside Schwartz, please let us know. After that, for the spring, for winter, was Leap of Faith, which was a single cam show.
6 episodes.
That apparently Fred Savage directed an episode of. But anyway, it starred Sarah Paulson. Well, you might have heard of.
Sarah
See?
But that's really early for Sarah Paulson.
It is.
Because she really peaked in, well, I guess we're in the early 2000s now.
Around
so
that time.
We're in Sarah Paulson's era, era here.
Tim Meadows from SNL and other things, right?
It's actually not a bad, Regina King.
Regina King.
Yeah.
So.
This is not a bad cast. It's just nobody fucking remembers this.
6 episodes, Quinn. that'd be why.
How did it get 20 million viewers? Well, I guess network TV.
Still popular. 0203, we got Friends at 8.
It looks like a decision was made to not futz with the lineup. It's the same stuff all the way.
We got Will and Grace at 9. Now, there was a show.
What is this?
It ran for a season at 9:30 called Good Morning Miami. I don't, it doesn't matter. And then also.
just hand waving that.
Get out of here. A show that I really like, but it only had this a brief run on must-see TV, Scrubs.
So Scrubs, I think Scrubs is notorious for getting bounced around a lot.
I remember the first about, I want to say 3 seasons of Scrubs are really good.
Scrubs is great.
It's before Zach Braff became too cartoony.
the thing about it is the show is meant to be a little bit of both, right? It's got like a lot of heart, but it's also got a lot of zany.
Yeah.
And it just jumps all over the place. But I think that's what it endeared it to audiences, is that it was kind of, it could be both things.
And this is also where we're entering the era of single camera, non-sitcom style shows.
I'd say Scrubs is a precursor for what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And why must-see TV kind of goes away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I agree with you.
Although Scrubs is good, but there's a lot of, I'm going to say it right now.
Mm.
I think the single cam, no audience thing got like abused to death, and I hate it. Like, I want a studio audience. I want there to be a good mix of shows with a studio audience and not.
I agree with you. Yeah. Sometimes I want that. So in 03-04, we're almost done with the must-see TV part of this, folks. Friends had its final season.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. Scrubs.
Ross and Rachel, did they finally get together?
We won't spoil that.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. The 8:30 spot was Scrubs and then Good Morning Miami for part of the fall. Mm-hmm. And then Will and Grace took over some of the 8:30, but held the 9, except when The Apprentice was in the 9 to 10
slot. This is
slot.
Where we're like, okay, what is this even must-see TV anymore?
Yeah,
like, we're just going to have reality shit on.
That's the shift we were in.
This is like, to me, the end is nigh.
There's some nigh. There was also, for some of this at 9:30, Coupling.
Did anyone watch that?
I'm sure you're big fans of that. 10 episodes. Okay, 0405 Friends is gone, but guess what? One friend is not gone. Joey Tribbiani in his ill-fated Joey spinoff.
This sucked ass.
It did.
This was horrible.
NBC Thursdays this fall, Joey's back, and he's bound for Hollywood, where his sister's waiting with open arms.
You look different.
Oh, I forgot. You haven't seen him. Huh? I went up 3 cup sizes. The doctor was reluctant.
Joey is a bad show.
Right. And it's awful.
I like the Joey character. I like Matt LeBlanc as an actor.
This is a mess, these last two. This is horrible.
I got to say this. Joey is not the character I would have spun off.
Yeah.
Chandler and Monica,
that's who you want.
If anyone.
And do a family sitcom with them, right?
That's
what that should have been.
This was
part. Or you do a Mad About You style where they're single, no kids.
Fine. Yeah. That too. No, they had kids at the end of Friends.
Oh, they did. You're right.
Remember the twins? Yeah. But like Joey, not the guy to carry it. He's just not interesting enough.
I think they thought because, again, they wanted it to be like Friends and Joey was single.
Yeah.
And he was like the only one that was single, basically.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where they thought. They probably thought we'll build to Joey finding a wife. Like that's probably the long term thought process with it.
I mean, Frasier was an unlikely candidate for spinning off, and it worked. So maybe they figured they could do the same thing.
Joey didn't have the depth of Frasier. Get out of here.
Yeah, it's true.
Even Frasier had more depth back at Cheers than Joey ever did.
You're right. And Matt LeBlanc is not Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
No offense to him. Anywho. The 05-06 season, Joey's on for a little bit, and then it gets canceled, which is good. Will and Grace picks up the 8 o'clock
mantle.
Where
it should have been all along.
And it also was holding 8:30 down while Joey was still on.
I think there's a point here, Joe. So the fall, right? The fall is Joey, Will, and Grace, The Apprentice, right? Then they finally are like, fuck this Apprentice shit, like, in must-see TV.
Yeah,
because,
it.
This is like an upheaval because it's an hour long.
Yes.
Like everything's all fucked
up. It's eating up prime real estate here. So we go to 8, Will and Grace for the winter and spring. 4 Kings for the winter held down 8:30.
What the hell is
I don't remember it. Apparently Seth Green had a sitcom.
13 episodes. It's nothing.
That means it stinks.
But here's one here that actually was like kind of a good show.
So My Name is Earl, which was a good show, Jason Lee starring in it, obviously. It was on for 4 years. So
this feels like a show that's very of like, this is the 2000s, this style.
Yeah.
Like these kind of downbeat, weird ideas. Like
Titus, like that, those type of shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Grounded for Life.
God, Titus. I haven't thought about Titus in forever.
But that's the era we're in, the mid-2000s era where you just, it feels like that era, you know?
Right.
But not bad. So they ran that at 8:30 and also 9.
And then here's a biggin. It's
a biggin, which, again, this is the last season of must-see TV.
Right, but this is a precursor. The last one is, this is where they would go.
Yes, and where they went was to Scranton at Dunder Mifflin, The Office.
Wow. Now, Office would become the Thursday show.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It did for a long time.
Yeah, it was like a huge deal.
Pretty much till the end.
Even though they changed the name to Comedy Night Done Right.
Yeah. office.
I feel like The Office is like it's almost fitting that it's also in the 9:30, like the end of the comedy shows. Like yes. It is the show that transitions into the new era. Right.
I agree with you. And the first season, it was like 6 episodes or whatever it was.
The king of the single cam, no audience shows.
It did it well. So let's talk now about the decline here, Quinn. So
there's a lot of problems, and you can see it in the lineup.
Yeah. Like Seinfeld ended, Frasier and Friends were already in their twilight years in the early 2000s.
But here's the thing.
So when they're all gone.
Yeah. So what you can see kind of happen, right, is that the traditional stuff just kind of ended, and they never replaced it. Like, it felt like with Seinfeld, right, that Frasier should have just cozied up and took over, but they didn't do that.
No, they really didn't.
They gave Frasier for 2 seasons, and they were like, screw it.
Move
you. And then it got, then that was just complete upheaval at that point.
Correct.
Then they started throwing, like, The Apprentice in and stuff, yeah. And, like, it's like, okay, this isn't even, like, the same thing anymore.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is like, why is there reality TV that are an hour long? Like,
it was
supposed
very
to be
weird.
4 shows, then the hour long one.
Correct. The other thing, too, is like ER by the early mid-2000s, it wasn't quite like, oh, I got to watch ER anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it still had a lot of... I remember that I would always be surprised to find that ER always had like a very loyal core that was sizable.
It did.
Of like watchers.
It still did well.
People did not let that shit go.
You're right. It did well. But what happened was around this time in the 2000s decade, CBS first, then ABC, and then even eventually Fox... all overtook NBC, leaving it in 4th place. And mainly due to their superior reality programming like Survivor.
Big Brother.
Yeah, and dramas like CSI and big names, right? So it was in 2006 that must-see TV branding was dropped.
That's not really must-see TV anymore.
Right, they knew.
Yeah.
Comedy done right, and that focused on like Scrubs. Also 30 Rock.
Ironically, it shifted to like sort of a must-see. It's weird
eventually.
To think. Well, ironically, the lineups in the like next era are actually like somewhat must-see TV because you have a lineup like this in 2009, 2010, right? And I'm not going to name everything. I'm just Community, Parks and Rec, The Office, 30 Rock. That's like
that's a lineup.
That's a solid lineup. And that's only like 4-ish years later, right?
They're all your favorite though, you know, the single cam, no laugh track
shows.
Oh
yeah, we've completely like changed it, right? But the point remains.
Don't forget the Jay Leno show, Quinn. That really
don't get it out of here. The point, all I'm getting at is that it's funny that it's almost like they dropped it just when they found the shows they wanted to put in it.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
The branding, you mean, right?
They like gave up on the branding right when like, hey, we've got a strong lineup again.
Yeah, I
right?
know.
It's like weird.
They did. But I'll tell you what, in 2017, must-see TV returned.
What?
Now, I can't
tell
you.
Does anybody watch this?
I don't. Now, Will and Grace was rebooted.
And I've heard from some people it's all right.
Probably
obviously,
is.
It's good enough because they kept it on.
Yep. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I've heard of.
That
I never
show
watched
was
it.
Really
Andy Samberg,
funny.
Right? Yeah.
It's like a cop show that's a complete lampoon parody.
Cop
like
shows,
it's like
right?
It's just stupid.
Yeah. Law and Order SVU was part of this, which SVU is the long runner, man. I like SVU.
It's surprising that in the prime that they didn't put Law and Order at all ever in must-see TV, and they just kept ER in there.
Well, ER was doing so well, I think.
Yeah,
is
I just
why.
Mean vanilla Law and Order.
The original?
Yeah.
The original was, Dick Wolf
yeah,
joint?
Yeah.
Superstore was apparently also a big anchor. I've heard of Superstore.
Some
I know the concept.
Like it, yeah.
I've never seen it. But anyway, that's kind of the deal.
The last 2 years, though, they've just won with like hour-long shows. Like
yeah,
Law and
Order and SVU.
SVU, Organized Crime, Law and Order.
Also Magnum P.I. reboot.
What is this
reboot?
Night in the fall where it was just Law and Order?
Yeah.
3 Law and Orders in a row.
It's like how MTV just plays Rob Dyrdek Fantasy Factory or whatever it is now.
Yeah, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about with that, go look on MTV, your lineup on MTV. It's insane.
It's mainly Fantasy Factory.
They're still doing it, Joe. It's literally Rob Dyrdek Fantasy Factory all day, every day. For like weeks in a row.
Why not?
Like 24/7, 7 days a week.
Why the hell not?
I've never seen a network get that bad.
And just stop caring, right?
Yeah, like,
need the commercials, that's it, right? Well, listen, Sorry to be so blunt, but there's no real great point to doing this. We just wanted to.
Here's the thing. To me, it's the last. It represents one of the last great eras in television.
Like, yeah.
Regular conventional Fair. Television, right?
It does. It's a snapshot of time, Quinn, before streaming usurped broadcast TV mm-hmm. for most folks.
Before the single cam, no audience yep. thing took over.
Before the days of on demand and pausing live programming. You know, there were. Yeah. There were these certain programs that you had to catch. There were some shows you needed to watch. Some TV, Quinn, that was simply must see. And I think you and I can both agree that must see TV is truly an Asawash memory. Folks, thank you so much for being with us here for episode 62. Back in the studio.
We're back, baby.
The new studio. Next week will be something completely different, but it'll also be contemporaneous. So it won't yes. be a vault episode or anything like
that. That nonsense.
No, but let us know your favorite must-see TV programs. Maybe you really like The Single Guy. I don't know. Somebody had to.
You've been hyping up The Single Guy the whole episode.
Maybe here. Boston Common or whatever the hell.
Shut up.
Boston Market.
No.
Folks, reach us on Twitter at AWM Podcast. Join our Facebook group. And if you don't mind, please leave us a review one way or another. We will see you next week for more Asawash Memories.
See ya.
Like what you heard? Be sure to leave a review and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We will see you next week.